But I did think I'd maybe start with a topical issue that came up today, and my first flush legal analysis, so that you're getting the first flush legal analysis. A lot of my friends got the demotic Anglo-Saxon words, the ones that may be used down the pub, and you'll get the analysis, which is it's very much more appropriate for the lovelies. Hello, Hillary, and I think I've seen other people. Let me sort of open this. This is just a lovely space. It's just a nice, lovely, lovely space. I think we might start with live chats going private. We might start sending a lot of things, more things private. I still need more content. But the topical story is the... Sorry, maybe we should one day do the pub version. We could all go down the pub. But we mustn't do that right now. We're still respectable people. I've got a young child downstairs, you know, and poor baby... poor Biscuit, poor the baby boy. We can't turn the air blue around the ears of the baby boy. Anyway, so I'm waffling, but I sort of feel free to waffle now. The Elgin Marbles. Okay. This has been a return issue my entire life. It has been an obsession of the Marxists. They are absolutely determined to get the Elgin Marbles out of the British Museum in order to humiliate Britain and humiliate our nation. There is no real need or interest in moving the marbles. They certainly won't be put in situ at the Parthenon. They don't need to be a couple of hundred meters near it. And Greece is a lot more politically volatile than here, and we've preserved them and preserved them extremely well through political volatility in that period. The Nazis did occupy Greece. Let's just remember that wasn't that long ago. That's what we call living memory. So it's really a Marxist obsession. But the problem in our society isn't really the Marxists, although they are the ones kicking and screaming and causing all of the fuss. The problem is the grown adults who are more than willing to indulge the Marxists. Step forward, George Osborne, O ye of many jobs. He's more than happy to do anything if it pleases the Marxists, and thus he can stay in his many jobs and feel, you know, that he's managed to negotiate a compromise. FYI, giving away our stuff is not a compromise, but that's how it will be spun. What a clever, you know, reasonable, sensible grown-up he is, that he's managed to negotiate a compromise by which we give away our stuff for, you know, nothing. I don't think as law that the Elgin Marbles can be taken away. Their plan is a brilliant wheeze. It's to say that they're not, and that's because, let's just take us through the various laws that protect the Elgin Marbles. So the Elgin Marbles were sold to the British Museum in order to create a contractual relationship and a property-based relationship. So the British Museum owns them. He's a trustee of the British Museum. So in theory, the trustees of the British Museum could sell any property or give away any property they own. But trustees are bound by fiduciary obligations. They have duties to the trust and they must act in its best interest. If the trust exists in order to display important historic works, which the marbles are, nobody's disputing that, then it's obvious that giving them away goes against the purposes of the trust, the charitable trust that is the museum, and therefore the trustees would be in breach. Point one. Point two. Because everybody's terribly worried that the Marxists leap on this topic from time to time, the last time the Marxists leapt on this topic, Parliament actually passed a specific act for the British Museum, which it can do. We're going to be returning to these ideas constitutionally, that Parliament can pass specific acts. And a lot on the left are going to scream and scream until they're very sick. And we're just going to laugh at them and say, but you've got one for Keir Starmer's pension. At which point they won't have an answer, because they do have one for Keir Starmer's pension. He's not going to want to give it up. And we don't need to take it from him. We're just going to say we can do that then. Okay, let's do that again. We've got a specific act of Parliament for the British Museum to stop the trustees, should the trustees all become collectively bonkers, as they obviously now are. That means that they really, really, really aren't able to give away objects of the museum. Oh, you grew up at the British Museum, Denise. I lived very near by for a number of years, and my doctors, my GP, was the museum practice in the basement opposite the Business Museum. How nice. I used to pop in all the time, and it was back before we all went collectively insane. So you just walked in and out of the British Museum. Not like now. If you try and go to the British Museum now, you have to wait in a massive queue to be pointlessly searched by security who don't really care or do anything, and certainly wouldn't do it. If you pulled a knife on them, would probably just run away. And then they have to search bags, and then you're allowed in your museum. Absolutely bonkers. But anyway, there's a specific Parliament Act that stops them giving stuff away. So as a jolly wheeze, they think that they're going to get around this by what they're calling a permanent loan. That's what we call in law a sham. Okay, that's the language you use. You don't need to go higher than that, although I strongly suspect that could be investigated. Note I only said investigated. But a sham is something which is done for one purpose, a true purpose, but purports to be done for another. It is an obvious sham to permanently loan the Elgin marbles to Greece. The Greeks will never give them back. They won't give them back if we sent them for a week. So a short loan is probably a bad idea. I'm personally aware that even the government legal service noticed that this would be a total sham, and that the advice to government is that anything over 3 years is definitely a sham. I think that, like much of the legal advice given by the government legal service, that is rubbish. I think in the specific instance of the Elgin marbles, given the protracted history, given the presence of the Marxists as a political force in Greece, given the emotions around the subject, even a week would be a sham loan to Greece. You can have no reasonable expectation that they would give them back. None. And in the absence of any reasonable expectation that they would be giving them back, you are running a sham. And if you're a trustee who runs a sham, well, that's a very bad thing and you can't do it. But most importantly, the court can set it aside. So I think that the Elgin marbles will face a substantial legal challenge. I'll write a piece up on this, and then I will assist, no doubt, other forces who wish to be more muscular in their own name. I probably won't be terribly muscular in my name, because the good news, everybody, is that I have a job. I never really wanted a job. It's not really, they don't really suit me, but it's a particularly emotional one, working for a particularly important organization that I can't actually tell you who it is, sadly, but they just know that in your heart, it's a lovely organization to spread loveliness. And if I have to have a job, I'm more than happy to work for these people. And that's why we have to have this slightly later. That's why we might move it to Saturday or Sunday, just so we can absolutely guarantee it. In fact, let me know in the comments, could somebody start a chat thread about is Saturday or Sunday better for the live stream? Or maybe I'll do it if I'm less lazy. But I do feel, because small person is growing up, I have to recognize that. And small person is going to, you know, they have their own lives, and that's what happens. And I wanted something that I would feel very emotional and good about. And you know, politics is in a complete car crash mode, so there's no point trying to get anywhere near that, sadly. But all I can do is to tell you that I'll look a bit more knackered, I'll be a bit more organized, I'll probably end up producing more content. The irony. But there won't be any controversial content. But then we never went for that, did we? That was never our shtick. I was never a YouTuber who went, shocking news, this is... or tried to get people worried about things. That was never our style. We've always been, we'll quietly explain what's going on. If you find that controversial, then really you're hysterical. We're lovely people. Hello, officer. Would you like a cup of tea and a biscuit? Chocolate, Justin. But that's always been us, and that's who we will remain, despite me having a job. The other thing is I'll carry on with the book. I really want to get the book done, ideally this year, or if not this year, at least completed this year, but maybe published next year. Because I have a fiction book as well as an idea that I'd quite like to do, and I just feel all sorts of things are needing to be done. Lovely things. More loveliness. That's what we need in the world. And I want you to know that I go about, as I'm sure you all do, spreading loveliness, standing when ladies stand at the table, letting people sit down, waiting for people on trains, queuing politely. We had a total Barney at the platform today. because the train that we were supposed to go on broke. So we had to get on the new train, and then we only had 4 minutes to board. And then that train was stuffed full of people. And we did a lovely thing, lovely. So you'd be so proud of us. Everybody stood to the side so that there was a passage. There was the whole door size passage for all of the people to get off. And we waited politely until they had got off, and then we got on. Marvelous. The country we all want to live in. That's what we're doing. Right. Anyway, that is too much waffle. I have not, because of how the job works, I probably haven't had time to prepare the questions in the usual manner, which is another good reason to move it to Saturday or Sunday. But let's try and do as many questions as I can find. William says, if our UK Parliament is supreme, why can't Parliament simply pass a law constraining the ECHR? Thanks. And then he gives his full name, which is... thanks, Stephen. William. If our UK Supreme... Because they've already passed a law purporting to bind themselves. So what happens, William, is that they have to unpass the law that they've already made. That's absolutely fine. Nobody minds that. That law they've made is not immortal. I know the guy who helped draft it for them, and he said... he's such a nice man. He's a total lovely. But he just said, I told Tony, it can be repealed. The reason that people are stuck with ECHR is because people keep saying, oh, we can't repeal the Act and we can't leave it. We can and can, and we almost certainly should. I don't know why the Tory parliamentary party can we. I think we can now notice that the issue is not necessarily the entirety of the Conservative Party. It may be a very specific group of a tiny number of people who actually got elected as MPs, who appear to still collectively wet themselves at the idea of leaving the ECHR for reasons absolutely none of us can work out. I mean, the heads of other European states have already called for it to be reformed, and they don't mind it as much because they just ignore it if it goes bonkers. Whereas we go, oh, I know it looks a bit bonkers, but let's do as we're told. And that's because that I like that mentality. I don't want us to change, which is why I'd much rather leave it. I don't want to ignore it. I don't want to just set aside, start picking and choosing between its judgments. I think if you belong to a court, you respect its judgments. That's the rule of law. And I don't respect this judgment, the judgments of this court, in that meaning of the word, to have personal respect for them or intellectual respect for them. And therefore, I don't believe my country should respect them as laws. Let's get to... Oh, sorry. Denise is talking about a cut-and-paste question by Sarah. The public authorities fraud, error and recovery bill. Yeah, but it's worse than this. So... yes, that bill is awful. And yes, they're granting them all sorts of powers to spy on you. They're going to insist on digital ID for you. They're trying to build a papers, please, Stasi state. They are absolutely as awful as we've all strongly suspected. Who knew that screaming us for, 10 years that if we dared to mildly question if they were truly good, they'd turn out to be absolutely evil. So they are giving themselves yet more financial powers. To get a job, I had to complete all sorts of ridiculous regulatory stuff and make proof that, prove that my right to work here. Obviously, none of the bad people have to do any of that. We live in a society which makes the compliant jump through ridiculous hoops and which allows bad people to just get away with whatever they want. But part of that massive and totally ridiculous compliance process I had to go through to get a job involved me proving my identity to the government's portal service, which asked me questions based upon entirely private financial information. So it asked me to tell it, out of four options, what the remaining balance on my mortgage is. That's my private financial information. Why do you know, you utter charlatans? It asked me even more specific questions about my mortgage. So specific were they, lovelies, that I'm afraid to say I didn't actually know and had to open up my bank account and check how much a month I paid and for whatever or whatever and all of this stuff. But they already have detailed financial information on all of us. They're already in our bank accounts. They're already in our private information. My granny would be absolutely horrified. My law-abiding granny, who never committed a crime in her entire life, nonetheless valued her privacy. I think the war generation and those after the war generation understood the importance of privacy because they'd seen how quickly states get ugly and evil when privacy goes. We're going to have to relearn these lessons because at the moment we have people giving away their privacy to get a 20 pence discount on a can of cola. You know, and that's a difficult force to fight. So the rest of us go, oh, actually, maybe you should keep your privacy. They're like, no, I want 20% of it. And I'm calling, I don't care that I've just told them all of my medical details and my dental records. We have people who are willing to give up their fingerprints in order to more easily access a password system. And we have people who store all of their personal information on a computer that they don't own, because that's called a cloud and therefore sounds good. If we just called it Bob's computer, or we could just call it Dr. Evil's personal computer, do you want to store your information on Dr. Evil's computer? Maybe people would reflect a bit more. But I think, as so often with humanity, we're just going to have to learn these lessons again. Right. Very wrong indeed. It's a dystopian. Sign up to it. What am I in? Did I click something? So gifted with technology. Seriously, I'm just like so good. This has piqued my interest. Petronella can't make it. Again, Petronella's husband has stolen her. I really think that we're going to need to have words. I don't see why Petronella's husband gets to steal her. That doesn't seem fair. Chaos. Hi, Stephen. Can we expect an order of council to fund the army properly on the grounds that the Treasury won't allow for 3.5%? Now, I expect we can expect Mr. Trump embarrassing, shouting and screaming at our Prime Minister until he fakes the accounts to make it look like we spend 3.5% on defence. Remember, all the money we're giving away with the Chaos Islands is going into the column marked money we spent on defence. Giving away our strategic asset is going... Now, that's what we call creative accounting. So sadly not, Kay, but we obviously need to rearm. The world is dangerous. I would push for 4%, 4.5% if I were in charge. And then they'd go, how do you fund it? And I'd just go, by sacking you, which they'd hate. But it is, the bloated state is just utterly ridiculous, and we're going to keep raising taxes until we realize we can't. We're already at the point where we can't, so we're just going to get poorer and poorer and poorer, and everything's going to break because people will not accept basic truths. Happy anniversary Friday. Have wonderful celebrations. Oh, that's Sarah being nice to Petronella. Oh, now Denise is being nice to Petronella. Everybody's so lovely. Which is vague, but as you know, there are a group of us who write and go to see our MPs. Yes, yes. Downing and Corbyn received nothing but platitudes, and she's now obviously miffed with us all. I don't care, Denise. It's not her job to be miffed. Write on a Facebook group, a local Facebook group, whatever she said, cut and paste, quote it, and say that it's disgraceful that a servant of the public would be so rude to the public. Who does she think she is? Any idea to get through this wall of platitudes? Yeah, embarrass her publicly as much as possible until she's so screaming that she actually has to meet with you. Absolutely. Shame them. Do not feel embarrassed. She's your MP. That means your employee. Okay? That means she's there to look after you. It's her duty. You know, she's failing in her duty if she's not doing it. Pray for a miracle in an LEG. No, Joe, we're not giving in. We're not giving in. Keep sending letters. Keep sending annoying things. Keep getting other people to do it. If you've got six friends, on one day, one of you sends an email. On the next day, another one sends an email. The next day, another one. Don't CC yourselves in. That gives away the opportunity. Literally, just keep bombarding her with it. You know, and the worst thing she can do is accuse you of harassment, but you cannot argue that you are being caused harassment, alarm and distress if you're being politely asked to do your job. So we just stay polite. Yeah, that's the key for everybody. We stay lovely. Our manners are our armor. Let that be our mantra forever. Let's see what I've got to. Oh, well, I know what's happening. Oh, this is going to be psychological hell. At work, the roller goes one way, up means one direction and down means the other direction, and at home it's reversed, and this is a recipe for madness. Everybody's being nice to Petronella. Hillary. Oh, Hillary's done a Hillary. Yay. In question one, question 1.5, and question two, this is maximum Hillary. Hello, good evening. What thank you to the wholly inadequate sentencing of these two miscreants in Leicester who beat to death. Yes, this poor man, Bim Coley, I mean, how absolutely monstrous. But sentencing in this country is completely out of hand. It is infected with political ideology that is not in line with the public. The only way that they could do that was to take the public out of it and then pretend that they weren't being political. That's nonsense. That's dishonest. Sentencing is inherently political, and they've decided that we will have sentencing in this country where somebody who murders somebody as lovely and as innocent as Bim Coley gets those pathetic sentences. Don't blame the judges. They have to apply the stupid sentencing laws that the politicians make. Never let them do that. I found a Lords minister doing it, a Labour Lords minister saying, oh, the judges make the sentencing. Like, no, they don't. You do, you daft little man. And you're going to answer for what you've done. And we're going to make the politicians politely and with loveliness and manners as our armour. We're going to make them answer. Do you know anything about senior district judge Paul Goldwyn, who's brother of the TR gagging order application in court today, found in favour of TR in this instance? I do know that I think the authorities have very badly handled Tommy Robinson. I would never have handled it in this way. That doesn't mean I'm necessarily on Tommy Robinson's side or think that he's a good thing. Obviously, senior district judge Paul Goldspring is a good thing. That doesn't mean every time Tommy loses, the judge is bad either. There have been good judges along the way. The problem is that when you start to get political judges, one bad apple spoils the barrel, you know, and they need to themselves really get more muscular in disciplining and controlling the ones who let the ones of their own who let them down. Because we're unfortunately at the point where they exist. They don't feel it's their job because there's an independent regulator. The independent regulator is obviously incompetent. It's an independent regulator. And really, we need to go back to a system where the politicians can and do sack judges. That is power which should be used incredibly lightly and with incredible reticence. But ultimately, the point is not that some politician gets some excited kick out of sacking a judge. The point is that the reputation of all judges are protected and preserved and defended. There was some criticism of a judge by the left this week. I can't remember what it was specifically. And of course, there was crickets. Nobody said, oh, that's monstrous. Oh, that's awful. I always like to point out enemies of the people, which had a hysterical reaction from the legal community, truly over the top, where they were basically trying to Marie Antoinette the entire incident. And then a couple of weeks later, there was an article in the London Review of Books. And because it was the London Review of Books, and because it was by a lefty, they didn't care about how rude that was to the judges. Now, I've always been consistent in my position. You can be rude about judges. That is our constitution. I personally try very hard not to be. I think they have quite a tough job. It's not one I envy or ever want. And when times get me down, what's the motto? Judges, be more goose. Always remember that out there in the world, at any time, there is Mr. Justice Goose doing good, being honest, being exactly what you expect a judge to be, being terrifying if you're a criminal, but, you know, being Mr. Justice Goose. So always, always, always remember that he's there. And it sounds like Paul Goldspring is another goodie. What is the district judge and the pecking order of judges? That is constitutionally very interesting. I don't believe in district judges, which is very sad for all the district judges because they earn well and they don't want to lose their jobs and they won't like me for that. But they are the magistrate level. And I believe very much in the magistrates. I believe getting normal people back into the legal system as much as possible, which we used to do via these things called magistrates. Magistrates used to sit in low-value civil trials. They now no longer sit in low-value civil trials. That's a dispute with a builder over $2,000. Low value, but, you know, matters to you. And let's just bish, bash, bosh, get it done. And that was the system. By having magistrates who are volunteers, they're local people, they're given an honorary title, which they took seriously and we should take seriously in order to get them to do the job again. At least they got through. A $2,000 hearing before is now before a district judge. It will almost certainly never go to trial because it'll just be clogged up in the vast backlog we have because we don't have enough district judges because one, we pay them, two, the system for appointing judges is broken, so it's not appointing them quickly enough, even though there are loads of applicants. A district judge is the magistrate level. I'd rather restore the magistrate, but that's where they are. Then Tony Blair set about inventing all sorts of other types of new, brand new judges. That's the tribunals. And the first thing that's obviously broken is the immigration tribunal. I think it's almost impossible to argue that the immigration tribunal is functioning Well, I was tempted to stop at the word functioning, but I've gone on and said the word well, which is arguably more charitable to them. The district judge, then the, above them is what they used to be the real judges in crime. Sorry, magistrates also used to do children stuff. So if you fought, parents fought over access to kids, go before magistrates. That happens, but it's very, very, very rare. It's a good idea because, again, at least you get a hearing and at least it doesn't cost the state anything. And if you're a normal person who can't afford a lawyer and you're talking to three other normal people who live in your town or live in the next door town, the whole thing's a lot easier, isn't it? To just go in and go, right, you'll be polite, say, I'm probably not going to, you know, say the right things. I don't mean it. I want to be polite. I'm a little bit nervous. And they'll say, oh, don't worry, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, you know, I'm sure you are. We'll be very polite to you. And what is it you'd like to say? You know, sorry, well, I'd like to say this. And I'd say, okay, well, we'll hear that. And take away all the formality of law that is only really needed for expensive or big dramatic things like trials of Axel's Ruda Cabana and, you know, big things, not little issues that are equally important. And one of the problems with the legal system, the justice system, is it has become vain. It is increasingly only interested in the dramatic stuff. Increasingly, the young kids are told that they don't want to be a criminal lawyer down the magistrate's court. They have to be an international human rights lawyer giving away our islands to Chagos. That's what a cool lawyer is. They're told that they have to be, you know, supremo counsel and all of this. And it's just a disgrace to law. Justice, no matter how small, is justice. And justice is always of equal value. There's something slightly funny in the world of commercial law, because often the legal point is no more complicated than a dispute you might have with a builder over $2,000. But what matters, why there are loads of lawyers and massive expense and loads of arguments, is that it's not $2,000, it's $2 billion. So all of a sudden, the point of law, which remains exactly the same, gets a lot more exciting. I have done all three Hillary questions. Woo! Petronella is thanking people because she's lovely. And then she's thanking other people because she's also lovely. I love the way it never ends. It's just, everybody thanks everybody. Justice is justice, Hillary. It is. And just any justice is a beauty, is a thing of beauty in our material world. It's an aspect of God. No, I didn't cut my hair, Denise. I was really, I am what I am. And I wore a suit. And that's how this is how things are nowadays, is that there's a lot more formality. I went in a suit on the first day because I thought that would show respect and I wished to indicate to them that I deeply respected them, a suit and tie. And then my CEO said, you know, you don't have to do that tomorrow. I was like, okay, but you know, I wanted to respect you. It's like, don't worry, I would have done it. I didn't have to cut my hair. Oh, Hillary's done it again. The ECHR has been discussed on DVDs. Do we have all the legislation we would need already if someone was bold enough to attempt to get rid of it? No, they'd have to draft new legislation to get rid of it, but the legislation could be really short. Regarding the Human Rights Act 1998, delete. That's pretty good. It's a bit more complicated than that, but no, we'd need new law to unmake other law. You have to get the ring back to the fires of Mount Doom or the ring can't be destroyed. Mount Doom can still destroy the ring or make another one if you want. Bad idea. Keep the ECHR. That's an eccentric view. But it's a perfectly valid one. And I think it's one that Mel Stride, I think, is pushing for in the Shadow Cabinet. So we dealt with Sarah's question about surveillance. But yes, I mean, I think it's awful. The DUP will survey people, yes. Seize money direct from your account. No court hearing. Exactly. There are just no protections for anything anymore. We are becoming meat units. And this is their philosophy. The Fabians see us all as meat units. They don't see themselves as meat units. Obviously, they're aristocrats and amazing and brilliant and fabulous and fantastic and super clever, even though they're probably a bit dim. They're actually rather insecure about their intelligence, which, to be honest, tells you all we need to know. Because being clever doesn't matter. Being nice and decent and honourable does. Samantha says, we should never have signed up to it in the first place. I agree. This is nice to have a nice debate. Everybody's being polite. Good. I think that's that lot. Jake Berry said the 12-year fishing rights can't be undone. Well, that's not true. Okay, and treaties can be undone. Treaties, and I'm so fed up at this point because the first time I made it, like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I was met by walls of utter hysteria, as I knew I would be. And I increasingly look back on those days as thinking just how deeply unfair, malicious and bullying the idea that I was wrong was. I'm not wrong. The case law literally says, our constitution literally says, once an international treaty is removed from domestic law, it basically floats off into the wind and no longer exists. And that's the only sensible way to deal with international law. I mean, one of the problems with those wanting to reform the ECHR is that what if Russia says no? You know, what if one of the member states says no? They have to get them all to agree. They all have to agree to the new wording. They'll all want different things out of it. Somebody will just want to make it as waffly as hell, you know, and it's just a car crash of compromise. It's too much compromise, too much governing by committee. These things don't work. Jake Berry is wrong. He's a very charming, nice man, so I doubt he'd be offended at me telling him that. I can explain. He's a solicitor, I think, so I can explain to him why he's wrong and explain the doctrine of incorporation, and I can tell him the relevant cases, of which there are many. The most high profile is probably Miller 1, which said the opposite but same point, which is that once international law is in our constitution via a statute, which was our EU membership was put into a statute, the 1972 Act, Theresa May said, I'm going to leave the EU without repealing it, and the court said, no, you're not. You can't. It's there. I can see it. And then she did repeal it, and the courts went, oh, I can't see it anymore. It's gone. Oh, it's the magic. And that's what the domestic legal system treats international law a bit like a puppy treats, you know, or a toddler treats something that is put behind the back. Oh, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone forever. Where's it gone? Where's it gone? Where's it gone? I can't see it anymore. Oh, well, gone. And then we go, and you're like, oh, it's here again. Oh, it's here. I can see it. And this is our constitutional concept. I hope I'm not being offensive to the Constitution, but that is effectively the situation. And the case that I relied on for my article that they all screamed about, that a year later the Supreme Court said was right, because it is right. And if they'd said the opposite, I would have said the Supreme Court was wrong, because that's the thing you do with law. It's not really, oh, I like you, Supreme Court, so I shouldn't be mean to you. It's more, are you right or are you wrong? Liking you doesn't matter. But they said I was right, and I was right. The case I talked about was from the 60s, and it was one of the Hague Laws of the Sea. And we signed it. And then 7 days later, we decided we didn't want to abide by it. And they just said, well, it doesn't exist. And even if they signed it 7 days earlier and they gave their solemn word, we don't care. It was never put into our law. It doesn't exist here. It's not here. It's not law. Which is by the way, that's the Chagos Treaty. It's not in our law yet. And once it's ratified via the CRAG process, it still won't be our law because it will just be a ratified piece of paper, and that's not an incorporated law. And the government legal service don't understand this point. So I think we can get Chagos back really quite simply. Let's see if I can see any questions. Oh, everybody's just being nice to each other. Liberty is a hill. I will die on. Good, Denise. There's a lovely Churchill quote, which is, there are many who say, win or lose, sink or swim, better to die than to submit to tyranny. And I do not dissociate myself from them. And that's the point, isn't it? Without liberty, there is nothing else. Without freedom, there's nothing. And a man who gives up his freedom for safety has neither. Digital IDs, I know, I'm going to be furious. I'll do everything I can. Just remember, Churchill got rid of them as soon as he, not digital, they were paper, but as if that makes a difference, as soon as he got back into office. The coalition government had promised the people that we would have identification papers for the war. And they were necessary for the war. And I think even I would say, okay, for the war. It's like internment. It's like, really don't want internment in my country. Thank you very much. Okay, this is a deadly war to the end. Okay, we can put up with it for the war, but it has to end by the end of the war. And that's the principle I would have with identity cards. And that was the principle the coalition, Labour and Conservative coalition, governed us during the war. Never forget that. That was the point that the coalition government promised them. The Labour government, which won a standing majority after the war, reneged on that promise. They went back on it. Some would say they lied. And then Churchill removed them when he won the subsequent election 5 years later, or whenever it was, 60, I can't remember, was it 52? So 46 or 52, so 6 years. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on the dates. Who cares? It's a date. Look them up and then feel very clever that you know a date. Dates you can't eat are no fun. The point is that when Churchill did it, he gives a very moving speech about how the relationship between the British public and the British police has completely collapsed. How the British public hates the police. Because basically what happens when you become a papers police, papers please society, is that individual officers will abuse their power because they're not nice people. Now, there aren't many of them, but again, a bad apple spoils the barrel, and an individual bad officer who just doesn't like the face of somebody. Don't be a racist. You can't completely eliminate racism, no matter how stupid racism is, because, you know, humans are how they are. But there'll be a racist officer who'll use it for racist purpose, demanding them off one ethnicity or the other. And don't assume, make any assumptions there. It could be anyway. There'll be a sexist one. There'll be one who likes asking for the papers of attractive young women in the vain hope that he can get their number. There'll be bad female ones who'll do the same thing because, you know, we like to pretend that women don't necessarily abuse power, but humans abuse power. And there'll be all sorts of minor, low-level abuses. This current Labour government would obviously therefore deny that they were happening, which then makes it worse. And ultimately, the people hate the police. Now, you cannot police without the support of the public. And that's true in a police state, ironically called, or a dictatorship. So in a dictatorship, policing doesn't work, which is why you have to have additional forces like secret police and military police, and if necessary, the military to quell riots. You just have to have an entirely more muscular system than we have. We don't have any of those organizations. We have the police. But the basic police in a police state fundamentally don't work because you can't police without the consent of the people. And Churchill very movingly says that that consent had completely gone. And he was getting rid of identity cards so that that relationship of trust and support, we are the people and the people are the police, would come back. So that's another one. I think people are laughing at my Churchill accent. Can't pray in church or teach Bible study as against the human rights. Yes, it is. I don't know who the individual is, but individuals in prison are entitled to religious observance. All of them, whatever religion, and I don't care what they've done, they're all entitled to religious observance. And what we have is a situation where rules are not being applied equally to everybody, and that's because on a one level the Marxists don't want to demonstrate their power by the unjust application of rules, and on the second because this certain class of people are more than willing to give the Marxists what they want if they get bright and shiny things. And the rest of us end up with a country that we don't really want, but we want a nice country full of loveliness. So we're going to have to take it back by, I think it was Jo, doing everything she can down in Cornwall to pressure her useless MP, by all of us doing everything we can to pressure our useless MPs. We're all going to have to push back. You cannot have a democracy without us all involved, which is sort of how the first attack on it was to tell us, oh, you don't need to worry about democracy. Oh, don't get involved. You'll be fine. We'll do it for you. Someone else will do it. It's the first attack. And I don't want this. The current status quo never lasts. And the only type of people who do are the Robespierres of the world, who, to a certain extent, the Lenins, who genuinely think that they can run a bureaucratic dictatorship, which you can't. You replace a bureaucratic dictatorship either by returning and restoring democracy, which we could and should and I hope will do, or you go into something awful that I don't even want to name, but you all know what that is because you're very clever. Unlike what the politicians think we are, we're actually quite clever. Good. I think I need to go downstairs and check on Small and the Dogs because they are ridiculously quiet. But hopefully this has been a good Substack for us. As I say, Substack will carry on just explaining things. I'll do a written piece on the Elgin Marbles at least And I do need, I know I need to get back to the teasing the constitution, teaching accuracy. And then we need, I need to find a book on tort and to tell you which one it is for those of you who want to purchase it. And then we'll learn it all together. So go and have lovely weekends, lovelies. I think the world is brighter and I'm looking forward to, really, I'm looking forward to the Sunday lunch that Small and my dad and I will have. Because I won't play games, and I just love that. It's the best part of any fortnight. But take care. Have a lovely weekend. Bye.